Well, you're probably curious as to why you have candy on your table. It isn't because, as I heard the other day, that all the things we think about diets are wrong and they have a whole new set of diets we're supposed to be on. It's because I want to introduce what shouldn't be a radical notion, and it's a notion that Peter was trying to talk about, but it seems to be a radical notion. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a physicist who calls himself a Christian who's not sure about Christ. I don't know how much of a Christian you are if you're not sure about Christ. But anyway, and he said, but I know that you evangelicals, so I've been promoted, are always trying to convert us to Jesus. And I said to him, we aren't trying to convert you to Jesus. And truthfully, only because Jesus is God and all merciful does he care about you. He really otherwise doesn't need you. All right. But here is where Christianity, or as I prefer to call it, loving Jesus and being part of Jesus, is different than any other religion, thought process, or anything else, and why, when you go out, you are not trying to convert anybody. What are you trying to do? You are trying, and hopefully succeeding, in giving these people the greatest gift of all time. And that gift is the love of Jesus Christ. And the love that Jesus has for you and the love that you have for Jesus, because it's definitely a two-way relationship. And as I've gotten further and further into my walk with Jesus, and the walk, not my life, because my life is hard, but the walk becomes more and more beautiful. And the feeling of the love of Jesus, that overpowering, most beautiful of all love, comes through at times. And I am so grateful for that love. And so, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to eat that candy. And then, when you're going to taste it, and it's going to be sweet, and it's chocolate, it's going to be wonderful. But then I'm going to urge you to share that sweetness, that love with other people who are dying for it. They just don't know it. You know, for whatever reason, my youngest daughter's and her children don't seem to know when they're hungry. And so, which causes all sorts of problems because they get very irritable in all sorts of ways. And in fact, one time Connor, who is my other daughter's son, who's the same age as my granddaughter Aliana, and we were in the car together and she was getting grouchy and he started yelling, "Feed her, feed her." Which turned out to be the right thing to do. Well, I am telling you that the world is dying with hunger from not having Jesus. So I'm going to ask you right now to unwrap that candy and eat it. And there's more candy on the middle table if you don't have enough. I want you to eat it. And as you eat it, I want you to think of how much sweeter is the love of Jesus. And then I want you to think about at least one person that you could offer this love to. I want you to think about offering this to one person who you could give the gift of starting to know Jesus Christ. Now, In 2 weeks, we're having the Petunia breakfast. And it's interesting to me because I know three godly women whose husbands are not as godly as they are. And they would like to get their husbands here. So I've invited the wives, and they're going to bring their husbands to come to get a taste, because once they walk in this door, we got them. And so I invite you, if you know women that are godly, to do as women only can, nag, berate, threaten to withdraw, I don't know, whatever it is, they got the rule book. Get them to come here. I always joke, but it really isn't very funny. When I was a kid, the parents were in charge. Then I grew up, and the children are in charge. And now it's the women and the children that are in charge. So I don't know what they're going to do the next time we need lifeboats. They probably have to put the poor men in there because they're the ones that need help. Anyway, but I really do urge you to do this, because the world is starving for this. And if you want, there's more candy in the back. Take a piece with you and think about who you're going to offer it to, and then talk about the crazy guy that stood up there and equated chocolate with the love of Jesus. And because the love of Jesus is infinitely sweeter and infinitely rewarding and won't make you fat. And it stays with you. It's like a flowering plant that keeps flowering and putting out more buds. And as I read Peter today, you know, the word convert, as I said before, drives me crazy. Because most people aren't converting from anything. We're not having people converting from one religion. We're having people converting from thinking that the world came from a bunch of rocks colliding and eventually some soup arrived and then it all got mixed up for a couple million years and then some other things happened. I'm talking about the we're an accident. And so, but once they get into Jesus, they realize we are no accident and we have God. Now, let's think about poor Peter for a second here. I have done a lot of studying of ancient Rome. And did you know that in ancient Rome, it was perfectly permissible for a man to kill his wife? And there was no concept in Roman law of mercy. There was no concept of anything but hierarchy. In other words, where do you fit on the totem pole? And if you're lower, the uppers can do anything they want to you. You have no rights. And Jesus' message was so revolutionary, hanging out with sinners and doing all of those things. And don't forget, Jesus was a Jew, and the Jews had already made the Romans pretty irritable. So the Christians come along, and they double the irritation. And Peter is trying to navigate a society in which everything that the Christians do is looked upon with suspicion by Rome. Nero burns down the palace and blames it on the Christians and has hundreds of Christians killed. Lots of other things go wrong. The crops fail, whatever it is, and the Christians became the favored patsy of the Romans, and more Christians get killed. And, by the way, if you think the tactic is out of date, when Hitler burned down the Reichstag, he blamed it on the Jews and the communists. And people believed it, and they gave him absolute power. So remember that that excuse is not far behind. And unfortunately, some of the Christians learned the tactic from the Romans, and when things would go wrong after Christianity was ascendant, they would blame it on the Jews. And for years, they believed up until sometime in the 20th century that at Passover, for some reason, we would kidnap little Christian children and eat them. And they're not kosher, so I don't get it. Peter has a double message here, and I'll start on the part of the message that is a little troubling, which is he does not want Christians to go too far out of line because he does not want the message of Christianity to be obscured in other causes or problems, whatever you want to call it. So he's basically saying that the only try to act within the law and live with the government so that we can survive to spread the message of Jesus. He combines it with a reminder that that's exactly what Jesus did. Instead of calling, I love there's a song, Angel Armies. Instead of calling down the angel armies on the Romans when they were crucifying him, he allowed himself to be crucified in terrible pain, and then he rose from the dead. So Jesus himself submitted. So Peter is saying, submit where it's necessary so that you can get along. But also, he's saying, submit in a way that amplifies the message of Christ. So the first passage really is the whole thing. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to the governor who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as a free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperors. And here's where this passage is the one that is the most difficult. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if someone receives a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. So the second part of the message from Peter is, if you live a righteous life, that by example, you're showing the world what Jesus was like. You're making them question, what do these people have that other people don't have? So you're letting some of Jesus' light shine through. And remember, when Peter is saying this, the church is barely a few years old. Peter has been entrusted by Jesus to build his church. And I don't even know when 1 Peter was written, whether or not Paul had come along or not yet. But in any case, he was pretty much alone. There were maybe, you know, followers. They had witnessed this incredible miracle of Jesus coming back from the dead and then Pentecost. But they still lived in a brutal Roman society. And he wanted that if there were going to be fights with the Romans, he wanted it to be strictly about being Christian and following Christian ways and not go down other byways, or as some people would say, live to fight another day. So, as we read history, there were tons of Christian martyrs, and they all went to whatever they were thrown into for the same reason. They went because they were followers of Jesus Christ, and they were showing that they were followers by giving up their lives. The reasons that they were killed by the authorities varied, but the reason that they allowed themselves to be killed never varied. And by the clearness of that message, by the fact that they insisted that no emperor was God, which every emperor believed they were God, that there was only one God, and he had sent his only son to die, and he had come with this strange gospel of love, and I was thinking that I've had at least 500 Saturdays here, and how lucky I am. And what a wonderful thing is to know on Friday night that I'm going to get up on Saturday morning and be with you and be with Christ. But I have a job, I have a duty, and you have a job, and you have a duty. And that is to let other people know about this most wonderful of all gifts, which is always available, never runs out, never goes on sale. You don't need a coupon. You just need to start down that journey. And Peter is telling you that the journey is not easy. And I'll close by thinking about a person that submitted. Nelson Mandela originally tried violence to get rid of apartheid. While in prison, he read St. Paul and several others, but principally Paul, and came out convinced, became convinced within, that the only way to do this was to spread it with love and submission, to the point at which that he was so submissive and so helpful to his jailers. And you can see this on YouTube. When he got out, his jailers applauded him. He took the example of being so righteous that they could not ignore him. It's a hard standard to live up to, and I know none of us live up to it, but at least we can try, and at the very least, we can stop being selfish and get out of our comfort zone and invite somebody to come here or to read something or to do something, reminding them that what's waiting for them is the sweetest, most beautiful thing that you can have in the whole world, the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you.